الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونصلي على رسول الكريم أما بعد، قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: ولا تشرب الخمر. وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: صدق الله وصدق الرسول، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Now we are on lesson number 80, Wisdoms of Action. And last week we spoke about the three types of fasting and the three types of people who fast. And this week we begin to discuss further about the secrets of fasting. As I explained to you, there is, for example, Maulana Shabir Ahmad Usmani Rahmatullah Alayhi. He says in his Tafsir Usmani that every man has got body and soul, and this body and soul has to be nourished, and as per the nourishment the body reacts and the soul reacts. Remember, we are in this world where the body is visible and the soul is not visible, and the soul is driving the body. Now when we go into the grave, then there is there the body and the soul both disappear in most cases in the ground. In many cases where of the Anbiya alayhi salam, the Siddiqeen and the Shuhada and the pious servants of Allah, the body remains intact. And in the Akhirat will be back in body and soul. And then when we are in Jannat, the soul will have total control over the body. Yeah, in the world, the body and the soul, they are at constant loggerheads. They are wrestling and they are pulling in each direction. The body is pulling towards nafsaniyat, whims and desires and evil. And the soul, which is naturally a subtle good quality, is pulling towards goodness. And the soul requires an opportunity to become good. And the body, although it is naturally designed to move towards that which is animalistic in quality and nature, but it requires the soul to direct it. So if you feed the soul with backbiting, slander, vulgarity, obscenity, nudity, pornography, if you feed the soul with music, you feed the soul with haram food, you feed it with all that is not good, then the soul becomes dirty. And the soul now drives the body towards all wrong. But if you feed the soul with salat, hajj, zakat, fasting, and you feed the soul with Quran tilawat, zikr, you feed the soul with recitation of Durood Sharif, and you feed it with good, then the soul becomes good and it directs the body towards good. The soul of a Muslim will be at peace when it is nourished with the right thing. Similarly, like the body, biologically speaking, that if a person feeds the body with junk food all the time, with off food, with rotten food, with dirty food, with food which is not good for the body, because sometimes the doctor says, the medical practitioner says that you should abstain from this, and you feed the body with it. Like for example, diabetic, and the medical practitioner says that stay away from cream and cakes and sugar and candy, and you go and take ice cream and candy and chocolate, then you are destroying your body. You are feeding your body with the wrong thing. Therefore, you are going to fall sick, and you're going to fall ill, and you're going to fall so sick and ill that maybe they have to put you in high care and then into ICU. Similarly is the soul. That exactly like how the body, when you give it the wrong things, the wrong food, then you destroy it, you ruin it, you annihilate it, you bring it down to its lowest, so its immunity system drops and it does all the wrong things, it reacts in all the funny ways. Similarly, the soul. You give it the wrong food, give it the wrong spiritual food, just like the body, we have got physical food to nourish it or spoil it. The soul, we have got spiritual food, which is good and bad. Depending on us, we can ruin it or we can make it good. Now, staying away from food and drink and sexual intercourse, that will help the soul. And when that helps the soul, then the soul will be able to control the body. And this body will now be taken to the right places. And this body will be going in the right direction. And this body will do the right things. This body will now go towards Salat and Zakat and Hajj. And this body will go towards fasting and Quran Tilawat. This body will go towards enjoining what is good and forbidding what is evil. This body will stay away from hatred and jealousy and malice. And this body will stay away from slander and backbiting. And this body will stay away from the evil characteristics and become good. So, we got body and soul. Shawalibullah Delvi Ramtullah Alayhi, as I have spoken in lesson 79, that he speaks that the body has got two energies, that is the Quwwat Malaika, Malakiya, and the Quwwat Shaitaniya, the satanic forces and the angelic forces. And these two forces are constantly at loggerheads and fighting. And when we stay away from food and drink and sexual intercourse, then the Quwwat Malakiya, the energies of the Malaika, supersede the Quwwat Shaitaniya, the energies of Shaitan, and the person becomes a better person. Maulana Idris Khandalvi Rahmatullahi in Marif al-Quran, there are two. One is Marif al-Quran of Mawlana Muhammad Shafi Rahmatullah Alayh, and one is Marif al-Quran of Mawlana Idris Khandalvi Rahmatullah Alayh. Mawlana Idris Khandalvi Rahmatullah Alayh says that you have got two qualities, that is anger and passion. And the purpose of fasting is to control anger and passion. Remember, both are good qualities. There is a lengthy discussion somewhere I've made that all qualities of Allah given to us, all qualities given to us by Allah are good. Whether they are hatred or jealousy, cowardice or fear, whether they are anger or passion, all are good. However, understand that all qualities have to be used in the right places and in the right measurement so that it can be classified as good. Now, for example, anger and passion, These two qualities, if a man is able to control and discipline and govern, then he will become a very good person. And both Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given avenues. That anger, every person has got this. And he can vent it in jihad. And passion, every person has this. And he can vent it, the outlet for it, is in marriage. Now, both have been classified good when the avenues are utilized properly. But if you take it and then let it override you, then a person who has got no control over his anger and a person who has got no control over his passion, he is like an animal. And if you see the sin of society, you'll see it is rotating around these two things. Murder, looting, fighting, quarreling, arguing, abuse, vulgarity, all the result of non-controlment of anger. And if you look at nudity, pornography, fornication, adultery, lesbianism, illicit sex, all result of not controlling the passion properly. So if you look at the evils of society, they are based upon these two factors. When they become out of control, then you have got a society that is out of control. Forget that. In your own house, that if you have members of your family that have got are ill-tempered and they do not have control over their anger and they do not have control over their passion, then you are going to have domestic problems. You are going to have fighting and quarreling. You are going to have abuse, backbiting and slandering. You are going to have adultery and fornication taking place. Why? That family is not in control. So alhamdulillah, that this is an excellent assessment of man. If he can control these two qualities, then he'll become a better personality, a better character. Some have said that a person must control two things. One is above the navel and one is below the navel. If a person is able to control that, then he'll be able to control his life. Now, far as anger and passion are concerned, that if a person stays away from food and drink and sexual intercourse, then automatically, naturally, his anger will be controlled. And his passion will be controlled. No matter how ill-tempered the person is, and how lustful that person is, but no sooner that person begins to fast and stays away from food and drink and sexual intercourse, that person is automatically subdued and that person naturally cools down. That is why you'll see the worst of people, that you'll find them angry and you'll find them out of Ramzan very angry. And they are like short circuit. You talk to them, they become angry very quickly. And unfortunately, they have got no control over their passion. But come Ramzan, because they are following the basics of fasting, staying away from food and drink and sexual intercourse, then automatically you'll find them not shouting, not screaming, not becoming rowdy, and they are subdued. Why? Because these three things, abstinence from, they create this quality of control and discipline and governance in man. Now, as I said, some said that you have to worry about what is above the navel and what is below the navel. For example, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that if you guarantee me two things, between two, then I will guarantee you Jannah. That is, the private part between the two legs and the tongue between the two lips, that if we guarantee and protect it and we safeguard it and control it, the private part and the tongue, then automatically we will become good. And if you look at fasting, it controls this. When a person is staying away from food and drink, and a person is staying away from sexual intercourse, then automatically the person is controlling his tongue. And automatically the person is controlling the private parts. And this is the road to salvation and success and joy and felicity and tranquility of the heart. Now, what is above the navel is the stomach. Now, if a person feeds the stomach with halal and good food, wholesome food, pure food, and the person is able to control his diet, and the person is able to control his food intake, then that person becomes a disciplined person. Because if you look at some parts of the world, and so-called civilized and cultured parts of the world, gluttony, obesity has become the order of the day. Because people eat so much of junk food that they've become so overweight, and now it has become a massive problem in certain countries. Now Allah's Sharia is telling us that control that. Control your food, control your intake, and eat halal. That is most important. As we have explained in other programs, the importance of halal food going into the stomach. If haram food goes into the stomach, then that person does not have the ability and capacity to listen to the truth, let alone act on the truth. And once halal food goes in the stomach, the ability to hear the truth and practice upon the truth will become easy. These days, major difficulty is that because we are not particular in what we are eating, and we regard the certification of any other person and every person who's claiming to be an authority, and we eat the food which is absolutely haram because of certification, we consume it, the ability to recognize and practice upon the truth goes away. Systematically, slowly leaves a person. As a result, the person loses the ability to focus. We should make an endeavor to slaughter our own chicken, gather together and buy a goat and slaughter it. Make an effort that we know where our meat is coming from. We know where our chicken is coming from. We know it is hand slaughtered. We know it is not commercially slaughtered. We must know it is not machine slaughtered. We must know that there is no mass production when it is slaughtered. We must know that tasmiya and the veins have been properly slaughtered. We must know that this food, the goat and the sheep and the cow and the chicken that is coming into my plate is halal. Do this for 40 days, then you will realize the sweetness of your ibadat. Then that which is below the navel. If you look around again, that how much of sin is perpetrated from that which is below the navel. Daily, hourly, unfortunately, we are witnessing because of the propaganda. And look at the media. The media, whether it is the written media, whether it is novels, whether it is the television, whether it is the radio, all are directing a person. It is these days embarrassing to go to a supermarket, and if you have to glance at the section where the magazines are, that it is extremely embarrassing to pass even there, because every other cover has got nudity and pornography displayed on it. Now this is a design because of shaitan trying to ruin the iman of a person, and shaitan wants to make a person immoral, immodest. That is why there is so much of vicious propaganda in the media that a person must go towards lewdness, a person must go towards looseness, a person must go towards adultery, fornication, must go towards lesbianism. If you see, the television programs are designed where there is no respect, where there is that person is running after that other person's wife, all that is happening and shown. Why? So that that which is below the navel is set loose. And when that is set loose, dancing, music, drugs, all that takes place. In that society or that family where you have music and dancing and drugs, then obviously fornication, adultery, lesbianism is the next step. And then after that, that will lead to killing and looting and haram earning. So we should be very cautious that in our homes, that our children dress properly, our adults dress properly, we eat the halal thing, and we speak correctly, we address the elders with respect, and we speak to the juniors with affectionate. We have to do all these things so that, alhamdulillah, we can have a civilized society. Now the objectives of fasting, there are three objectives of fasting. Number one, we will start and inshallah continue in lesson 81. Bringing desires under the control of the intellect. While a person may desire to have his intellect control his nafs, this does not always take place. The nafs first needs to be disciplined, and to do this, the person has to undertake some spiritual cause such as fasting. He may then stipulate a period of fasting, either with a vow or without one, and then complete the term. In this manner, the nafs will gradually submit. This objective is logical and requires no proof from the sources of Sharia. To understand this, remember that Allah has created man with spiritually as well as beastly qualities. He therefore possesses all the traits prevalent in animals as well as those found in the Malaika. It is now his duty to ensure that the animal factor remains within its quarters and does not overpower the angelic factor. This can be achieved only when this part of his nature is subservient to his angelic side. It is through fasting that this can be attained. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates in Bukhari and Muslim, she says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sometimes fasted for so many days that we could think he would not stop. He then stopped and did not fast for so many days that we thought he would not fast again. I have never seen Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fast an entire month other than Ramadan. And I have also never seen him fast as many days as he fasted in the month of Shaaban. This hadith tells us, number one, that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam observed nafil fast very often. And he did not observe them for a full month, since this may adversely affect one's health. So alhamdulillah, this first objective of fasting is to bring the desires under the control of the intellect. Because when a person desires to bring his control his intellect, then he has to control his nafs. And in order to control the nafs, that means the inner qualities of man, his whims, his desires, his inner desires and his inner qualities, then this person must control his intellect. And in order to control his intellect, fasting has been prescribed. Because when fasting has been prescribed, then the angelic factor and forces in the person will supersede the animal factor in the person. That is why Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has encouraged us to fast. However, there is no extremism in deen. There is moderation. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never fasted in the entire month except in Ramadan. And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that he should fast, we thought he would not stop. And when he stopped, we thought he would not start. Meaning that there is no extremism in Islam. That Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam should not fast the entire month except in Ramadan, and he should fast a lot in Shaban, so that we are prepared for the fasting in Ramadan. That is why the Shariat has prescribed the 3 days a month, so that we get reward for every fast 10 days, and we are like fasted 30 days. And that fasting enables a person to have control over himself. Now some people also fast Mondays and Thursdays. That is very good. That is nafil. But we should not force others to fast. If a person is healthy and is able to fast 3 days a month, if he is able to fast Monday, Thursdays, that is very good, rewardable. But remember, nafil actions you should not force onto others. You should do it for your own spiritual enhancement and benefit. And that if a person is not fit and not healthy and cannot fast Mondays, Fridays, or he cannot fast 3 days a month, but alhamdulillah he keeps his Ramadan fast, then that person should not suffer from an inferiority complex or a guilty complex. He should know clearly that I am doing according to my capacity. And this is what the Shariat wants us to do. Do according to your capacity and ability, and make dua that Allah Ta'ala accepts. Inshallah, when we come back in lesson 81, then we will explain the second objective of the fasting, that is safeguarding one from sins, and the third objective, a cure for fulfilling carnal desires. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.